mailing address, if you'd like to write to me. Well, my name's Terry Anderson, okay? And the station is Uptown Radio, and the address is care of 134 Eastworth Road, Chertsey, in Surrey. And if you're very good, you can have a pen or a poster, if you'd like, but you must enclose a stamp or an SAE, if you'd like a reply, because we got lots and lots of letters, which is really great. And we'll be coming back to some more letters in a moment, listener. We're getting loads and loads of things through the post at the moment, not only records, but this is great. Some publishers are sending review copies of books, which is just brill. And this week I've been sent some marvellous books of trivia, a couple from the large catalogue of teenage millionaire Giles Brandreth, and also Dictionary of Misinformation, which I haven't had a chance to look through, well, either of those yet, or any of them rather. But I was knocked out this week to be sent a review copy of John Mortimer's autobiography, or rather the first part of it, called Clinging to the Wreckage, A Part of My Life. Here it is, here, look, big hefty tome. Here. There, see? Really great book. You probably know who John Mortimer is. He's, he's a barrister, and he only defends people. Very interesting chap. It was he, actually, if you're as old as I, you may remember, he defended Richard Neville in the Oz school kids issue trial back in the late 60s. He's also a very well-known playwright, and it was he, in fact, who adapted Evelyn Waugh's Brideshead Revisited for the TV. End of last year, early this year, and recently had that play on the telly, A Voyage Round My Father, which was a thing all about his father, obviously, which had, what was it, Lord Olivier and Alan Bates in it, I seem to remember. Anyway, it's a really excellent book. It's published by Widenfield, and I would have bought it because it's £8.50, even if I hadn't been sent a review copy, but it's a trend I'm happy to encourage. Free books, triff. And something else that we got this week, which is rather rare, I've been sent a white acetate copy of this track. Now, it's a track which was recorded at the Secret Policeman's Other Ball, okay, which was recorded a little while ago and is now out as a movie. But this track is particularly rare. I gather that it's not in the film, and it's so wonderful. It's such a wonderful version that I thought I must play it for you. So this is Sting on his own, and a track you may know quite well. You could have me pull the red line. Those days are over. You don't have to somebody tonight, Roxanne. You don't have to wear that dress tonight. Walk the streets for money. You don't care if it's wrong or if it's right. You don't have to put on the red light, Roxanne. You don't have to put on the red light. I love you since I knew you. I wouldn't talk down to you. I have to tell you just how I feel. I will share you with another boy. You know my mind is made. So pull away your makeup. Told you once, I won't tell you again. It's a bad way, Roxanne. You don't have to put on the red light, Roxanne. You don't have to put on the red light. I knew you. I wouldn't talk down to you. I Isn't that good? That's Sting all on his own at the secret policeman's ball. And I had to fade it a little early because that was part of the deal. That's a bit of a complicated reason, but I'm sure you'll understand. I got sent this press kit with it as well, and it includes this sort of paperback thing, which is... here it is. Which has got some of the sketches and photos in it and things from the movie, and it's given me a list of places where it's on, which they've asked me to read out, but I think that'd be tedious. But it's on at Guildford and Hammersmith and lots of places all over London. I'll just bung that paperback over there to get that out of the way. And talking of the movies, of course it's the Oscars are awarded next week. I think it's tomorrow night, actually. They're published, at least in America, so we'll probably know on Tuesday morning who's won them all. I imagine that on Golden Pond, the new Henry Fonda movie will pick up most of them, particularly if you look at the number of nominations that it has. But I hope Dudley Moore gets an Oscar for Arthur, because that will be richly deserved. Sorry about the banging. Talking of movies, great double bill around at the moment, maybe at your local area, certainly at mine. Airplane is currently doubled up with Life of Brian. Airplane is really good. It's a series of sort of one-line jokes, sort of loosely gilded together in the movie. Life of Brian is just superb, one of the best films I've ever seen, particularly if you were brought up in school like I was by a bunch of priests and so on, and it's very amusing. Went to see that last night, and so did my listener. He's walking into the cinema in Staines, turned round, and there's my listener walking in behind me, which is quite jolly. We'll say hello to them a bit later on. Got a letter from North Harrow, Middlesex, somebody calling themselves Linker. Hello, Tez. Your fourth hour was fine. That was a great story, but to comment on the remainder, on the Tower of London, generally overrated and inaccessible to investigation. Dead Man's Tree, hard to find, but has investigative potential. Lots more comments on our ghostly and ghouly bit last week. To the main point of this interminable screed, writes Linker, it might interest you to know that there are more modern haunted houses than old ones, and so it's just possible that at least one of the listeners has, or suspects they have, some supernatural phenomena. In which case, I would be interested to hold a form of investigation using apparatus of my own device. Yes. There's an idea to kick around. Meantime, say hi to Bevan Chazzles and keep on broadcasting. Regards, Linker. Right. Got a letter from somebody, Tina Collingwood of Hayes, who says, sorry to hear Topper's going. Why not offer his programme to Noel Edmonds, I hear? He's looking for a job. Anyway, if you do decide to play more records, please at least don't play all the stuff from the charts. Surely if people want to hear that kind of thing, they need only listen to Tommy Isn't Music Wonderful, Vance's Top 40 thing, just before you come on the air. I enjoyed the Ghostly Hour. Why not do that special on UFOs? I'm sure many listeners would have an interesting story or two. Yes, right, well, thanks, Tina. Interesting letter, and my regular listener, Sarah, Daredevil of the Red Circle Curry, writes, something rather depressing must be the approaching of the Eurovision Song Contest. I can't wait to hear Norway's entry, writes Sarah. I can't quite remember, but I think they got absolutely nothing for 3 years running. Quite an achievement. As if this wasn't enough, not to mention the possibility of the Gumbe dance band being number one this week, and it was. I went through the extremely grueling experience of watching The War Game last Friday. It really is a remarkable film, and I think it's outrageous that the BBC won't show it. Just proves how censored the media really are in this country. It really shows that the people who believe nuclear weapons are a deterrent are the naive ones. Better stop now before I get too political. No, that's okay. The thing about The War Game is this film, listener, in case you didn't realise, that's sort of so-called censored and the BBC refused to show, but you can go and see it at CND meetings and things like that. The point is, I mean, it was quite a scandal at the time, but the reason they won't show it now, I believe, is because it is so outdated. It was made in the early 1960s when people were more naive about what would be the resultant action of... It is. I haven't seen it all, I must admit, but I've seen about half of it once. And times have changed, and it wouldn't really give a valid idea of what would happen when the inevitable, or let's hope not, happens. And she goes on, have you seen the Imagination video? How's that for a contrast? Yes. They surely must have established themselves as England's answer to the village people, all in the best possible taste. I agree with all those people who think you should keep the letters in the programme, mainly because if you decided which to include on quality, mine would be the first to go. Bye, love, Sarah. Not at all. You underestimate yourself there. Got a letter here from Ellie, with no address, but I think it's on the envelope. Don't worry. It says, I listen to your show almost every week now while I'm doing my homework and find it thoroughly enjoyable to hear Andrula mention my name in her letter, even if it is about me being pushed by Andrula, and I'll repeat, pushed in dogs. Whoopsies. Is that an uptown word? Can we... Oh, that's okay then. I think you should play a record by Japan, because I think they're great, don't you? Hmm? Ooh, I've won somebody over. I really enjoyed your Susie and the Banshees record, by the way, last week. Somebody from Hounslow Manor is having a party, so we'll have a bit of juicy gossip to talk about, hopefully soon. I'm quite surprised how much I've been enjoying school lately, writes Ellie. My geography lessons must be the best, especially on a Friday when I have a double lesson. I don't do any work, but sit back and have fits of laughter with, that could be Mad Jane or Mod Jane. Let's presume it's Mod Jane. You must come to our school play, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Not because it's good, but so you can have a cheap laugh. It would have been good if I had been in it, but I thought I'd give the amateurs a chance to show their talents, says Ellie. It starts 31st of March and 2nd of April. Can you just tell Andrula that it will be her turn to wash her shoes next time and not me, and tell her to stop dreaming about the driving instructor we saw on our way home the other week? Say hello to all at HMS, especially Michelle, Ash and Andrula, Oh and Aaron. Bye, lots of love, Ellie. Kiss, kiss. Okay, thanks very much. Now, as I say, we've played snatches from radio stations all around the globe recently. Here's one from Germany. Now, some stations like to make you believe they are rather more grand than they are. Not only naughty stations as well, you know, people sort of, let's say they got their 15 record decks and their cartridge machines. And there are thousands and thousands of channels on their mixer. Well, here's a station in Germany called Radio Valentine, rather taking the mick out of everybody like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program for a live commentary. We're just going to take a solitary round on the big, wide broadcasting complex of Radio Valentine. I'm standing here outside the broadcasting house, which is situated rather idyllically at the edge of the woods, miles away from the nearest town. Not even any road is leading to this position. We're really having a beautiful Sunday morning. The sky is clear, the sun's shining so bright, so weather conditions are absolutely marvellous out here today. Never mind, just a small shower that's passing by. I'm moving about in my medium-sized Radio Valentine t-shirt, which is available to you for just 12 Deutschmarks cash on delivery. Put that bucket into one's way. I'm heading now to the entrance of the broadcasting house. And as we enter, we find ourselves right here at Studio 4X-49. Over there we have the two turntables and some large tape machines below the hen perch. There are no authorized persons in here at the moment because everything is going on at Studio 1. Sorry, don't take it personally. The other soundproof door leads us to the transmitter room, which is filled up by a big case being the power supply for the transmitter. Thick cables lying around at the floor connected with a large 50 and a half watt transmitter at the other end of the room. Hey, wait a minute, there's something lying on the transmitter, just struggling a bit. Oh yes, I see, we're gonna have a roast duck for lunch. We now enter the third and the last room at the ground floor of the Radio Valentine Broadcasting House. This is the engine room. The slight whistle you could probably hear in the background comes from the steam-operated generator running with 5,000 rounds per second and providing the transmitter and the studios with 200 kilowatts of power. We need 120 watts for the transmitter, 6.5 watts for the tape recorder, further 200 watts for keeping the beer cold, and the remaining 199,673.5 watts get changed into heat. Before we have a look at the upper floor, I'm leaving the broadcasting house through the back door. And, oh dear, it's so quiet here. Love it. And there we have one of the most important parts of the system, the half-wave dipole aerial, 24 meters long, erected by our antenna specialist Paul Hunter, hanging 7.5 feet high above the ground. Mr. Hunter was in a bad physical state today. I think I can reach the aerial with my hand. Yes, really. Really, I can touch it. Yeah.
Sounds just like this place. Listen, did you see Oxford win the boat race yesterday? I tell you what, I reckon it's fixed. I do. Well, listen, if it's not fixed, how come the same two teams reach the final every year? Admit, I was a little disappointed with that at first, but it does grow on one. Got a letter from London Road, Ashford, from somebody called Tracy. And she says, Terry, as you said, you were fond of Morph last week. I thought I'd send you this little version for you to play with. ... And this is really great. Tracy's sent this, well, it's quite big, actually, this little version of Bendy Morph, which is sitting on the speaker here now in the studio. This is just great. I'm really pleased with that. Thanks ever so much. She says, did you know that you can see the cover of Teardrop's Kilimanjaro in Coronation Street most weeks? It's on the wall in the cabin. Look out for it. And yes, I had noticed, actually. She's absolutely right. It's in Rita's shop. Just when they walk round to the record section at the back, it's stuck up on the partition wall, the cover of Kilimanjaro. Anyway, Tez, she writes, thanks for making Sunday evening something to look forward to. That's great. It takes a lot to make me giggle when Monday approaches, but you manage it. Love, Tracy. Oh, that's really cute. And thanks for Morph. He will sit here on the speakers now for keeps. Listen. Listen. What are you most afraid of, eh? A team of market researchers asked 3,000 United States inhabitants, what are you the most afraid of? Many named more than one fear. which accounts for the percentages here, the results may surprise you. In 14th place in what things people were most scared of came escalators with 5%, then elevators or lifts, and then darkness, then driving or riding in a car. 9% of people were most scared of that. Then in the top 10, 11% were scared of dogs, 14% of loneliness. In eighth place, 18% of people were scared of flying. Then came death and sickness with 19%, and then three tied for third place for what people were most scared of: deep water, financial problems, and insects and bugs. Most odd, 22%. Then with 32%, in second place came heights, is quite understandable, I suppose, but this is really most odd, because the biggest fear out of all these people named, and it was 41% of them named this as their biggest fear, was speaking before a group of people. Never get on the radio. Now, according to the Sunday Times, which reported this survey, in general, women were far more fearful than men. Twice as many were afraid of heights, insects, deep water, flying or driving in cars. Three times as many were frightened of darkness, and four times as many were frightened of lifts or elevators. They were also more fearful of dogs, of getting sick, and of dying. But if that makes it seem like a male chauvinist survey, it is worth noting that the only fear which men have more often than women is the fear of financial problems. I find that quite interesting, actually, I must say. And talking of the media, I think the quote of the year in musical terms comes from Martin Ware of BEF Heaven 17 in New Musical Express this week. He says, "That's one of the biggest myths ever, that pop music changes the world. It doesn't change it at all, it's just a confection." What a sensible fellow. Have some more sweet meal a little bit later on. I got a letter from Guy Lloyd. Oddly addressed as being coming from Ivor, Buckinghamshire, Denmark, who says, "Sarah Curry said that the world didn't end last week. Well, she is in fact quite wrong. It ended on Saturday, March the 20th at around 4:40 p.m. when Rotherham popped their fourth goal in." Blubber, blubber. "Bang goes this season then, hmm?" he writes. "I think it would be a rather nice idea," says Guy, "to do a This Is Your Life on Topper, seeing as he has sadly moved on to lesser things. A sort of parting shot, ne sais pas. You could drag on all these people who knew Topper when he was four and have, in quotes, hysterically witty anecdotes to reveal about his private life. You could be Eamon Andrews and sweat buckets all over the studio. Seriously, though, it's sad to see him go." Yes. Yes, but he's still in touch and he'll be back over Easter. So don't worry. Now, I'm just going to keep quiet for a minute and leave the microphone up because I keep hearing this whistling in the background and I want to know what it is. Hang on. I don't know what on earth that is. Go on, do it again, whatever it is. There's nobody else here. It must be a bird outside or something. Not to worry, not to worry. Mulgrave Road, Ealing. "Good old chum, Karen Eldridge. I have only been catching snippets of your programme, though I heard the sacrilegious remark about playing more records. I hope you take as much notice of this as you do or did to Carbolic. By the way, my hair takes only 15 minutes to dry using a hairdryer," writes Karen. "I've always wanted long hair, but now that I've heard about Mazzy's locks, maybe my hair isn't so bad after all, though I'm darn sure that it's worth all the effort for her in the end. I also sympathise with Lucy. I once had a verruca," here we go, doctor's corner now, "which seemed to multiply rather alarmingly, but I'm trying not to rake up such memories. I had mine for 6 months," writes Karen. "Because they spread quicker through water, I had to have one leg with the offending foot on the end lifted out of the bath as I sat in it." Oh dear, shouldn't laugh. Where was I? Just the humour of that just got to me. It was no joke, I promise you. The doctor didn't want to burn it out with acid, as it was too close to the joint and may give me rheumatism. This is great stuff, isn't it? "They tried freezing them in vain. Finally, they said, come back in September. Well, while on holiday on the Isle of Wight, I ventured into the sea. The currents would lessen the contamination risk. Anyway, I am firmly and unshakably convinced that it was the salt water which resolved the situation. Ask any old wife, she'll tell you." By the time I left the Isle of Wight, I was rid of them, so my advice to Lucy is to find some salt water, preferably flowing, and be patient. By the way, I'd also like to take this opportunity to apologise to the French person who inherited my verrucas. I missed nearly all of Ollie and Nick's entry for Song for Europe, but I hope they win. Oh dear. Say bye-bye, baby, to those at Michael London, the hairdressers where I used to work at. I left yesterday, as I hope to work in a baker's starting on Saturday. Lots of love for you all from Karen. Oh, she's really nice. Yes, I have to dig that motor's track out sometime. From Harrow comes Gillian Savage, and she says, "Dear Terry, I hope you had a more interesting time at the Ideal Home exhibition than I did. The highlight for me was getting back out into the fresh air." Motors, you see, airport, you know. Okay. Please could you say hello to John Farrow, who is the leading contender for Wally of the Year 1982. Why don't you play something by the constantly underrated Japan on the programme? Did you see them on the whistle test the other week? Magic, eh? Well, I hope you enjoyed that track at the start of the prog by Gillian Savage. PS of the week, she encloses as well. PS, I noticed that the marriage proposals have dropped off. Isn't it odd how this coincides with you sending out your photo to people? Oh, so cruel. People are so cruel. A letter from Prog the Wildcat, who says Topper leaving was a bit of a shock. No doubt he's gone on to do better things. Is that possible, though? Anyway, wish him loads and loads of luck, and I hope he becomes a big star so I can say I used to listen to him when he was just a struggling DJ on a pirate station. Isn't that how all DJs start their careers, on pirate stations? No, not really. You tend to have a bit of a stigma if you appear on these Sopranos. One or two did. Richard Skinner started on a naughty station, and so did Steve Wright in very small ways, but they quickly moved on. Anyway, Prog goes on. Over the last week, we have been subjected to increased daylight robbery in the form of hooded LT staff, London Transport staff, carrying crowbars and pickaxe handles. Seriously, though, the fares increase is definitely unfair to us poor, low-paid school kids. Do we ever go on strike or ask for a wage increase? When we recovered from the LT extortion, the teachers at our school decided to go on strike, so we're only taught for half a school day now. Hope they keep it up for a while. Could you yell a greeting to the following persons: the addicts, the royalty mob, and anyone who wants to free the airways? Ask Roger Vosine for details. 1010 Wildcat Prog. PS. Why do elephants paint the soles of their feet yellow? So they can hide upside down in bowls of custard. Yes. Fine. It's good to see the unemployment figures drop slightly recently, but if you think it's rough now, well, you should have been around when I were a lad.
Very possible indeed, eh?
Oh. You can't beat a good glass of Chateau de Chasselet, eh, Josiah?
Hey, you're right there, Obadiah.
Oh. Who'd have thought 40 years ago we'd be sitting here drinking Chateau de Chasselet?
Aye. In them days, we're glad to have the price of a cup of tea.
Aye, a cup of cold tea.
Aye.
Without milk or sugar?
Or tea. in a cracked cup and all.
We never had a cup. We used to drink out of a rolled-up newspaper.
Best we could do was to suck on a piece of damp cloth.
But, you know, we were happy in those days, though we were poor.
Because we were poor, my old dad used to say to me, money doesn't buy you happiness, son.
And he was right.
Right, well.
I was happier then. We had nothing. We used to live in a tiny old tumble-down house with great holes in the roof.
A house? You were lucky to have a house. We used to live in one room, 26 of us, no furniture, and half the floor was missing. Huddled in one corner for fear of falling.
Well, you were lucky to have a room. We used to have a living corridor.
Oh, we used to dream of living in a corridor. Would have been a palace to us. We used to live in an old water tank on a rubbish tip. Got woke up every morning by having a load of rotting fish dumped all over us. House?
Well, when I say house, it were only a hole in the ground covered by a couple of foot of torn canvas, but it were house to us.
We were evicted from our own in the ground. We had to go and live in the lake.
You were lucky to have a lake. There were 150 of us living in a shoebox in the middle of motorway.
Cardboard box.
Aye,
you were lucky.
I'm afraid you must do if you want a reply, and if you want a pen or a poster. But I do apologise, but I was talking to somebody, a chum of mine, who's also in the media, who does a programme on the radio, and he was telling me that he's about 4 months behind with his mail, and I'm certainly not that bad. It's about 2 or 3 weeks, so I am bringing it very quickly up to date, and I've nearly made it, but I do apologise. I thought I'd do something really, really fascinating here and open a letter on the air, okay? Be really exciting because neither of us know what's going to happen. So I've got an envelope here, and listen to that sound effects too. Open it up. It's just a little piece of paper, and it comes from Eastcote, wherever that is. Never heard of it. And it looks like it's rather straight to the point. Dear Terry, please say hello to my brother Christopher, because it will be his birthday, his 16th, on March the 30th. Love, Linda Storrington. That's it. Oh. Okay, what was that again? Hello, brother Christopher Storrington. Linda sends her love. Good. Our Bev is going to America. No, don't worry, not for good. She's going for a hole over Easter. Thought I'd let you know that. And I got a note from her this week, which includes another poem by Ogden Nash. Are you ready? Parsley is ghastly. Oh dear. And you thought the others were bad, she says. I wonder if you've noticed, writes Bev Worrell of Greenford, but all those advocating more records are the relatively newer listeners who haven't had the experience of the Terry Anderson Show being a record show, a rarity indeed. As you've probably noticed, I'm using my Uptown pen for this letter. I used it in a test yesterday, so if I fail, Prog has a lot to answer for, because it was he that first mentioned the powers of Uptown Radio pens in exams and tests. Just before the public transport fares went up in London, writes Beverly, all those Lord Dennings hijacked a bus up to Westminster. Well, they interviewed them on LBC and they were saying some really funny things, but the only one I remember is, if God had meant us to use London transport, he'd have made us all rich, which I thought was quite funny, writes Bevo. Did you like the Ideal Home exhibition, she writes. I found it pretty boring because there were massive queues for the houses and they're the best part. No doubt there weren't many queues on the Monday. The most annoying thing is probably people asking you to join the AA or the RAC, especially as I can't drive. Or no, actually, my advice if you're thinking of going to the Ideal Home exhibition is don't bother. I came out feeling like I'd spent a couple of hours being trampled on by the SAS. I thought it was quite a rip-off, actually. It's £2.50 to get in. And the car park, guess how much it is for the car park, bearing in mind it's the same cost to park your car in there, whether you want to go in there for 5 minutes or 5 hours. How much to park your car? £3. I know. We parked a bit of a way away and walked. But no, I wasn't over-impressed, and there were so many people there even on Monday, and people are so rude, aren't they? And they just sort of thrash their way through you. Elbows going right, left and centre. But I did enjoy, I was up there quite early. I thought I'd get there early, and we thought we'd miss the crowds, which we didn't. It was quite interesting because I watched Brian Hayes doing his programme live from there, and there was hardly anybody else there watching, so I had a really good view. And it was great, actually. I learned quite a lot, seriously, because you watch somebody who's really professional. You can really learn quite a lot in this game. Beverly continues, no one seems to like my breakfast. I didn't have it when I was ill, only because I couldn't get to the shops. But I usually have crisps and a Twix or something like that for breakfast. Oh, God. Lately, I've taken to eating the antisocial crisps. That is cheese and onion. They might smell, but they're jolly tasty. So thanks, Beverly. And have a good time in America. Also, my regular listener, while I remember, will remember that we adopted a duck last year. I don't know if you remember that, because we haven't mentioned him for some time, but I've got some really great news. We called him Archie, by the way, it might remind you, the duck we adopted. Great news. Got a card from the Slimbridge Wildlife Trust, who look after him. And apparently he arrived this week back safely for the summer. I got a card from him which came this week to say that he's arrived back safely for the summer, has old Archie, because he sort of emigrated for the winter, which they do. And it's really good because apparently only one in five make it, so he's done ever so well. Three cheers for Archie. Well done. Now, don't forget, I'm here for about over another half hour yet. 1.5 hours for me, and then 1.5 hours of Bob, and then we close down a little bit earlier than we usually have been doing recently. You'll be able to watch some of Whoop's Apocalypse anyway. While I remember, I must just quickly say hello to a friend of mine. He's so poor. He's so poor, this friend of mine. How poor is he? I'll tell you, he's so poor, he's not on the bread line, he's on the crumb line. Are you cursing a man already made? Heavy metal, trick or treat, yeah. Only 17, on the level, trash is near. Fuel to the fire of the old cliche of does David Sylvian sound like Brian Ferry. Got lots more to come, still got over half an hour left, and in the remaining half hour we're going to be talking about words that sound nice and words that don't. And still got loads of letters here. Listen, look at all that, look, zillions and zillions still to go. And lots more other interesting items as well. But what we're going to do in a second, I'm just padding here for a moment, because we're going to do something rather odd here. We're going to change transmission sites, okay? Which needn't worry you particularly, but we're going to do that in a second. Oh, hang on. Doesn't involve any physical exercise for me, but we'll bung a jingle in. There it goes. Yep, and when that finishes, we'll just flick the thing over, so we'll have a little gap of about 4 seconds. Start off with another record, I think, just to tie things around nice and neatly. Just something different that we're trying. Right, we're ready for it. Okay, right, back in about 4 seconds after this jingle, okay? Stand by. Terry Anderson.
Downtown team, all you got to do is swing.
was quite painless, really, wasn't it? Something you may have missed in the papers during the week. I noticed we all take telephones for granted, don't we? Although I don't, because mine's always giving me trouble. But I noticed in the paper a report about the rapid growing pains brought on by oil wealth are chronicled in the United Emirates introductory telephone primer, which instructs, and I quote, to dial, insert the index finger in the appropriate finger hole and rotate the dial in a clockwise direction. It ends with the useful advice, withdraw the finger. Sound advice indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah.
I give you the Celtic Soul Brothers and the Strong Devoted.
An ice cream here. Got a letter from Janet, who lives in Caroline Court, Ashford, and she says, just a short note to say, programme is still great. Thank you. Could you do me a small favour? Say hello to all at Abbotsford School in Ashford, which incidentally is the school that Gary Newman used to go to. Did you know that? And Janet says, I've been really plugging uptown all this week by putting up posters, etc. at school. And it would get even more listeners if you gave the school a quick mention. Thanks a lot from Janet. Hello, Abbotsford School at Ashford. P.S. I'll write an interesting letter soon. Say hello to Ollie, because he supports Brentford too. Well, I told you a bit earlier on that I went to see Airplane and Life of Brian last night and looked behind me, and there was my listener. or more to the point, Stephen Withervee Parsons and Julie Parsons. And coincidentally, I've got a little note from them this week. And we've been talking recently about some really short poems, and they send me an extract from the Guinness Book of Records, which says the shortest poem is Adam Haddam. which is appalling. But apparently there is a published shorter one entitled Short Poem, and it goes, Poe, short poem, you see. And Stephen says the writer must have been a genius. And there's probably more here. Yes, there is. Now, Julie says, about the dropping of the letters on the programme, well, I don't think you should. I mean, you should have more letters from people saying they've kept Uptown on because it's different. You can hear records on other stations, but not letters. And you have struck just the right combination. And if you're happy doing it, please continue. Thank you. Now for some serious stuff. Did you know that there are more people who can roll their tongues than people who can't? The people who can't have got some muscles missing in their tongue. Can you? I can't. Great news, isn't it? I don't know what rolling your tongue is. I don't know what exactly it means. I don't know if I can roll my tongue or not. And oh, they also enclose a logic problem, which I will use next week. Definitely. Also got a letter from young Oliver Sladen of that nice address, Sunnyside Road, Ely, who provided us with that tape recently, which my regular listener will remember only too clearly. And he says, I'm writing a short note to answer the various topics that arose from the last couple of shows. Your extra hour is well worth listening to, and the ghost stories nearly frightened me as much as your photo did. Oh, dear, I'm going to get a complex about this, I really am. Somebody was asking how you brushed your teeth. Well, I have a toothbrush, usually. I use the toothbrush, usually. And in up and down and in an up and down motion. Tremendous writing you got, Ollie. Last week, Mazzy said that I resembled a squelchy haddock. Well, my lawyers are looking into the matter, and we are confident of winning on a case of slander, as so far as we know, haddocks don't wear glasses. She said her hair was almost 2 feet long. Mine is 11 inches by her method and comes down to my collar. So either she has a giraffe-like neck or her hair must come halfway down her back. And because it's so long, takes a long time to dry. Perhaps she should cut all her hair off and then she wouldn't have to wash it, just polish her head occasionally instead. For heaven's sake. I won't bore you by telling you how those Brentford brothers are getting on, writes Ollie, except that the subs were out in force against Swindon. Shots rained in, but the nets only caught fish. The flow of the game was against both teams, and the players sank to a very low level, while the spectators flooded in. Oh, God. I.e., the game was postponed. Was the survey on sweets you had last week only on chocolate-based products? Yes. You see, I am only able to eat three of the products mentioned. That's Twix, Maltesers in moderation, and the Toffees in Quality Street. Now, this is because I am allergic to the vegetable and nut oils they put into the chocolate. So to anybody who was going to buy me an Easter egg, don't bother, he says. I'm amazed so many listeners liked that tape, but they all jumped to the conclusion that I was on it. Well, I said nothing of the sort, and I'm keeping it that way. We know different, don't we, listener? By the way, who does the intro at the start of the programmes, and how is your duck getting on? Well, as I revealed earlier, we've actually had great news about Archie, the duck we adopted last year, and he's actually arrived back safely in the country. And, which, as I said earlier on, it's actually really good news, because it's quite sad... figurative that apparently only one in five ducks actually make it back to Slimbridge, so he's done ever so well. Who does the intro at the start of the programmes? If you mean good evening and welcome, the lady that does that has specifically asked to remain anonymous. Ollie says, I've decided that the last date for entry in the top 50 or top 20 thing will be on Thursday 8th of April. Right, because Ollie is doing this survey, as my regular listener will know, and asking people to send me their top 50 or top 20 singles of all time, then I send it on to him, and then he compiles the top 50 or top 20 or something of all time. Keep up the good work and don't change the format of the show, Ollie. P.S. Did you see Peter Powell at the Ideal Home Exhibition on Monday? No, I got there early and left early, but I did see Brian Hayes, Gloria Honeyford on Radio 2, who was wandering around in the crowd and tried to interview me, but I ran away successfully. And also I had about a 2-minute peek at Nicky Horn on the Capitol stand, talking about the radio stations that are stuck there, of course. Right, plenty more still to come, of course. What have we got? We've got some more letters to look at. Look, yeah. And what else? We're going to be talking about words that sound neat and words that don't sound so neat. I'm going to play this next record for a friend of mine. This is absolutely true. He's discovered this week he lives down the same road as a member of Bucks Fizz. Absolutely true. I've told him to write to the council to get a rate rebate. Cream's melting. Oh dear. Right. Talk about the most beautiful words in the English language and the most awful words in the English language now, because there's been a survey carried out in America of words that sound beautiful and words that sound ugly, irrespective of their meaning, you see. And it's based purely, as I say, on the timbre or words rather than anything to do with, as I say, the meaning. And the most beautiful words, apparently, in the English language, chosen by people, are, the top 10 are as follows. Number 1, chimes. 2 is dawn. 3 is golden. 4 is hush. Then lullaby, luminous, melody, mist, murmuring, and tranquil. Isn't that nice? Nice sounding words they are. And then they picked the 10 worst-sounding English words, which is based on a poll by the National Association of Teachers of Speech. And that they thought the 10 worst-sounding words, as I say, irrespective of their meaning, are cacophony, crunch, flatulent, gripe, jazz, phlegmatic, also plump, plutocrat, sap, and treachery. They're the 10 least nice-sounding words by this survey. And I've been thinking over the programme, actually. I've been scribbling a few down because I haven't had much time to think about this. I'm trying to think of the words that I think sound really nice. Nothing to do with their meaning, of course. I thought of 4 really nice-sounding words. Asia, turquoise, whisper, and bliss. Couldn't think of many nasty-sounding words. I thought of coax. It's a really harsh-sounding word, isn't it? Coax. And bung. Bung. So if you can think of any neat-sounding words that sound sort of really... just purely by the sound of the word, write and let me know. Thanks to Les Keeley for his letter. Also just a mention to Robert Blay, who comes from St Albans in Hertfordshire. Thanks for your letter. And also, difficult to read this name, it's F.J. Van Hoot or Hoyt or something like that, who lives in Woodland Grove, Weybridge, Surrey, KT39th. Thank you for your little letter there, which includes a reception report. Grateful for that anyway. Also, Alan Dolby, who says, Dear Terry Anderson, this is the very first time I have written into Uptown, so you'd better savour the moment as you might not get a second chance. Am I the only Uptown listener who remembers Tony Lloyd in his heyday, showing my age again, and has still got a tape of some of his exploits? And a confusing bit, unfortunately I missed his farewell programme on Uptown. I think you've got the wrong station there. Can you blow a raspberry to all the insurance companies in London, especially those at Lloyd's, not Tony, and to all those people who have hit my car this year? Actually, talking about Tony Lloyd, myself and Todd, my little dog, we go past Tony Lloyd's front door nearly every day, and we're going out for a walk. Did you know that?
It's true.
To summarise, says Alan, I stay in the bar for 15 to 20 minutes. Can't remember what that means now in our survey. And he sends us his top five singles of all time. About 3 months out of date, but never mind. Which are Mr. Blue Sky by ELO, January, February, Barbra Dixon, Status Quo, Caroline, Ticket to the Moon, ELO, and Headbutts by, John Otway. Say hello to the usual gang of people, that's Margaret Mazzy, and not forgetting John, looks like Barthwick. I've got a long name, Clark. Yours faithfully, Alan Dolby. Thank you. And also a note from Nick, who comes from somewhere, doesn't say on the envelope, says, I must say I truly enjoyed that thing from South Africa where the chap was taking the mick out of those radio people, telling them that he had a problem with some rats. They seemed really and truly gullible. Last Tuesday, says Nick, I saw my favourite band, The Jam. That means I've seen them 13 times. Gosh. Is this a record on your show for any one band? Let's have a survey. Oh, no, let's not. One thing I was disappointed about the gig was the cost of the T-shirts. £4 seems a bit on the steep side. It does, doesn't it? And the programme was 6 pages, 12 sides of glossy jam for £1. Oh, that is bad news. Now, that's got to be expensive, he says. What do your listeners think? Well, I think they'll probably agree with that. I wonder if anybody else has come across more expensive souvenirs and whatnots at gigs and so on, but that really is a bit of an outrage. What about this for a bit of information? Says Nick, I work in a delicatessen in Chiswick. All great, name dropping, all great. And a couple of months ago, Midge Ewer of Ultravox came in and purchased some food, well, I suppose he's got to eat, for a party he was having with Hazel O'Connor and a few other distinguished pop people. Most probably, although he didn't go into detail as he sped off in his red Porsche. Gosh. Have you purchased the gift by those Fab Three Brothers The Jam yet? Why not? It went straight to number one, you know. I have bought it, actually. I was a little disappointed, I must say. I do have it here. Might play a track in the weeks to come, but I was a little disappointed. Nick says, I think the Johnny Carson show is the best thing on London weekend television since Thunderbirds. All the best from Nick. P.S. Tell the world Nick loves Jane as she gets excited. Only she probably doesn't spell it quite like that. So, Nick loves Jane. Oh. And finally on the letter front, got a letter from Paul Burtonshaw who says, I hope you don't get rid of the present format of this show at the expense of so-called music. That monsoon track you played the other Sunday was total rubbish, I thought. Keep the chat in anyway. Have you got the new Thompson Twins album set? It's really good, a very strong album. Yes, I have. And I'm ashamed to say I haven't played it yet at all. I haven't listened to it, so Have a listen to that during the week, maybe play a track next week. It makes a pleasant change writing this in the early afternoon, and it's because of the teachers' industrial action. I don't think they realise that they're creating a precedent, doing away with the lunch hour, thereby enabling us to go home at 1:30, writes Paul, because lunch times are tedious, to say the least, and we all like the idea of coming away early. Thanks, Paul, young Burtonshaw. There, now I'm going to finish now with a track which we've used many a time to talk over, and I said last week we must play it in full sometime without any chat over it at all.